The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Yomah has been dedicated in memory of Mazal Bat Esther Baghdadi and Yosef Ben Mazal Baghdadi by their family. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf has been dedicated by North Fork Bank and its private banking department with Gabriel Safti. Hashem Yishmerehu V'Hayehu. We would like to thank North Fork Bank and urge our listeners to patronize this generous financial institution. On a private note, we'd like to thank Mr. Gabriel Safti for his continued support for all our programs here at Daf Yomi, Torah Learning Resources, and the Torah Center. Teskele Mitzvot. Today's Daf has been dedicated in memory of Yosef ben Mazal and Shlomo Rafael ben Mazal. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf has been dedicated by the Safti family for the Hatzlaha of Alberto and Mauricio Safti of Geneva, Switzerland. Hashem Alehem Yehyu. Amen. Daf Yud Gimal. Today's daf is being studied Le'ilu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Lerfu'a Shilema Rabbi Shimon Ba'adani ben Habiba. Enna refana lo, enna refana lo, enna refana lo. Petok she'ar chule amo Yisrael. Amen. We begin today's daf on Yud Bet Amud Bet, 11 lines from the bottom, starting from the words Tanu Rabbanan. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braita. Ira bo psul. Let's say the Kohen Gadol became pasul in his avodah. Uminu acher tahtav. So they appointed somebody else in his stead, second Kohen Gadol. And now, let's say the first Kohen Gadol became valid again. So he became pasul, they appointed somebody else, and then he became valid again. Rishon chozer la'avodato. So the first Kohen goes back to his avodah, goes back to becoming the Kohen Gadol. Sheni kol mitzvot kehuna gedula alav, and the second kohen has the status of a kohen gadol. So the replacement, his status remains as a kohen gadol. Devrei Rabbi Meir, those are the words of Rabbi Meir. Rashi on the third wide line, kol mitzvot kehuna gedula alav. What does that mean? Lo poraya. Which means he's not allowed to grow his hair. Kohen Gadol cannot let his hair grow. He has to take a haircut every 30 days. Velo porem, he's not allowed to rip his clothes, let's say in avelut. Ve'eno metameh lakerubim, he cannot metameh himself to his relatives. U'muzhar ala almana. And as a Kohen Gadol, he cannot marry a widow. Umshamesh b'shmuna begadim. And when he serves in eight clothes. So you see, the Bimir Shita is the second Kohen remains a Kohen Gadol. The Biyose Omer, Rishon Chozer La'avodato. The Biyose agrees. The first guy, when he becomes valid again, he goes back to his job. Sheni, but the replacement, Eno Ra'ui, Lo Lo Kohen Gadol, Velo Lo Kohen Ediot. He's not Ra'u, he's in limbo. He's not fit for a Kohen Gadol anymore, nor is he fit for a Kohen Idiot. Amar bi Yosef, Ma'aseh bi Yosef ben Elim. There was a fellow by the name of Yosef ben Elim, Mis Sipuri, from the city of Sipuri. Sheira bo psul be Kohen Gadol. So what happened? The Kohen Gadol became pasul. Uminuhu tahtav. So they put Yosef ben Elim as the replacement Kohen. And then the original Kohen became fit again. So now they want to know, what do we do with this Yosef ben Elim? V'amru hachamim, rishon chozer la'avodato. The first Kohen goes back to his job. Sheni enu ra'ui, lo le'kohen gadol, ve'lo le'kohen idiot. And Yosef ben Elim now, the second, is not fit for anything. Not a Kohen gadol, not a Kohen idiot. Why? Kohen Gadol Mishum Eva. You can't make him a Kohen Gadol because it'll lead to strife. It'll lead to Mahloket. Can't have two Kohen Gadols. because now it's going to cause a fight between the Kohanim, or jealousy. Kohen Idiot, you can't lower him down to a Kohen Idiot either. Mishum ma'alim bakodesh velo moridim. Right, you know, once a person wore the 8 begadim, you can't lower him down to wear the 4 begadim. That's a lower level. So therefore he's stuck, he's in limbo. He can't serve as a Kohen Gadol because it's going to cause him, it's going to cause strife. He can't be a Kohen Idiot because it's going to be involved in ma'alim bakodesh ve'en moridim. Comes Rashi, let's read Rashi. Eno ra'ui, kelomar, eno mishamish b'mikdash, lo b'shmona kikohen gadol, v'lo b'arba'a kikohen idiot. That's it, he's in limbo. He cannot serve not as a kohen gadol, not as a kohen idiot. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Abba Barbar Hanna, Amar Rabbi Yohanan, Halakha k'Rabbi Yose. Halakha follows Rabbi Yose. That what? The second Kohen Gadol has no capacity. Not Kohen Gadol, not Kohen Idiot. Umode Rabbi Yosef. But Rabbi Yosef agrees. She'im avar ve'avad avodato keshera. But Rabbi Yosef agrees. If let's say that Kohen Gadol, the replacement, let's say he served, his service will be kasher. Why? Because really, in principle, he's a Kohen Gadol. The only reason why we don't let him serve as a Kohen Gadol is Mishum Eva, because of strife. But that really means Minat Torah is a Kohen Gadol. So therefore, if he served in the capacity of a Kohen Gadol, his Avodah is going to be Keshera. Amar Yehuda Amarav Halacha K'Rabbi Yosef. So Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav, that the Halacha follows Rabbi Yosef. That what? That the second Kohen Gadol is neither Kohen Gadol or Kohen Idiot. But if he served, keshera. Umodeh Rabbi Yosef agrees, she'imet rishon, that if the first Kohen Gadol died, she'hozeh la'avodato, that the second, the replacement now can go and become a Kohen Gadol. So Gemara says, what do you mean, peshita? Of course, which means, what's the problem anymore? Which means, the Chaura, he is a Kohen Gadol. The only reason why you said he can't be a Kohen Gadol is because of strife. Well, now that the first Kohen died, so there's no more strife. So why not put him as the Kohen Gadol? So the Gemara says, Ma'u detema hav yalet sara mehayim. Because then you're causing him to be his rival during his lifetime. Because if you allow the second Kohen Gadol to take over, so when they're both alive, it's going to be uncomfortable now, because it's like he's praying for him to die. Because he knows once he dies, he can take over. So maybe you think you're not going to allow him to take over as Kohen Gadol because you're creating a rivalry when they're alive. That's Sara Mehayim. The word Sara is usually used when a man marries two wives. So the second wife, or the wives to each other, are called tsarot, rivals, because it's envy and jealousy. Kabash Marlan, comes Gemara says, Kabash Marlan, now what? We don't worry about that. That once the Kohen Gadol dies, the replacement now can go as a Kohen Gadol. Now let's just say Rashi over here. The Rashi is on the bottom of Yudbet Amudbet. We'll start from She'im Avad Ve'Avad. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the bottom. That if the Kohen Gadol served, the second guy, the Avodah is Keshera. Bishmona begadim ke Kohen Gadol Avodah to Keshera, dea Kohen Gadol, because really is a Kohen Gadol. Ela, the Amru Rabbanan lo lishtamesh mishum eva. The only reason why he's Pasul is because of strife. But in principle, he's a Kohen Gadol, so if he served, he's Kesher. Aval ba'arba'a vaday Pasulah. No, but if he served with 4 begadim, of course pasul. Why? Because the Kohen Gadol that wears 4 begadim, his avodah is definitely pasula. Shehozer sheni l'avodato, the kuna gedola peshita. Of course, he should go to be able to serve. That mishum eva u'devsil. And now that the Kohen Gadol died, there's no more eva. Ma'u detema mishum eva nefsal aflachar mitat rishon. I would think maybe this eva, he's pasul even after the first Kohen Gadol dies. Why? Diyamat yishemesh acharav, because you can allow him to serve after havid et sarah mehayim. He's a rival in his lifetime. Ki isha shit sarah lehavirta. Like two wives that are rivals to each other. Diyamar ze mitzapeh matayyamut. Because they could say, oh, this Kohen's waiting for the first Kohen to die. V'ish shemesh. Kamash ma'anan, de lo hashinan. No, we don't suspect that, then it's okay. Now, let's just make some insights on this Gemara very quickly. One of the things the Gemara said is the story of Yosef ben Elim. That this Yosef ben Elim, he was the replacement Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol became Pasul. Now the Mefarshim explained that this was talking about on Kippur. The Kohen Gadol, obviously, that you need him on Kippur. So he became Pasul, and they put Yosef ben Elim in between. So the Rashi in Pirkei Avot, in Perek He, says the following. Velo ira keri leKohen Gadol b'Yom Kippurim. One of the miracles that happened on Yom Kippur throughout the history of the Beit HaMikdash was a Kohen Gadol never had a seminal discharge on Kippur that would render him pasul. So he says, "The tum'ah zehu il v'yotzah migufo davar migunehu u'mikhoar." Since it's a tum'ah that emanates from the Kohen's body, that would be a very severe or disgusting type of tum'ah for the Kohen to get. Mishar tumot u'ma shayu matkinin lo Kohen ahed tahtav nachmat pisul. Oh, but we learned that our Mishnah used to set a second Kohen in the wings just in case the first Kohen becomes pasul. The oto pisul shira pisul ahed ayu asim, which he was only referring to where the Kohen Gadol became pasul from something else. It was not keri. The oto pisul shira bo bi Yosef ben Elim, and that story with Yosef ben Elim and the times of the Beit HaMikdash, psul acher haya. It was a buzz of different psul. Kegon, mahmat sheretz, either they touched the sheretz, or tsinura shel ama'aris, or let's say the spit of an ama'aris, which the Achamim put a tumah on it. So therefore, that's how the Kohen Gadol became tameh. Now, the Tosfot over here has a question. Dibura matril Kohen Gadol Mishum Eva. The Tosfot's question is like this. You're telling me that according to the Biyoseh, the second Kohen cannot be not a Kohen Gadol, I mean the replacement. He cannot be a Kohen Gadol, nor can he be a Kohen Edyot. Kohen Gadol he can't be because of Eva. It's going to be strife. Good. Kohen Edyot because of Ma'alim Bakodesh Ve'em Moridin. So Tosfot asks, what do you have to give that reason of Ma'alim Bakodesh Ve'em Moridin? Just say simply, once you tell me that the reason why he cannot be a Kohen Gadol is because of Eva, that means really he is a Kohen Gadol. In truth, he's a Kohen Gadol, but because of strife, we can't let him serve. So once you're saying that, the reason why he cannot serve as a Kohen Edyot is because, very simple, a Kohen Gadol cannot wear the clothes of a Kohen Edyot. He has to wear eight begadim. Which is, in truth, this replacement guy is a Kohen Gadol. The only reason why we're not letting him serve is because of strife. And that's a rabbinical item. That's, you know, Hakamim came along. So therefore, very simple. You should say, he can't be a Kohen Edyot, because his Malmai is a Kohen Gadol. You don't have to come on to Ma'alim Bakodesh Ve'moridim. It's obvious that he can't be a Kohen Edyot. He cannot wear four begadim. What do you have to come on to, like a new Sevara? Yeah. So that's the Tosfot's question. Let's read that inside. Hikshari. Medekamar Ta'ma Mishum Eva. Then the fact that you tell me the reason is Eva, Michlal, Deminadin Ra'udiyot Kohen Gadol Medeoraita. Right? Ela, he is a Kohen Gadol Medeoraita. Ela, Gazu Be'er Abadam Mishum Eva. Vetema, Imken, Mai Itztadich Lefirush Ta'ma De Kohen Edyot Mishum Ma'alim Bakodesh. What do you got to come out to? The reason why it cannot be a Kohen Gadol is because of Kohen Edyot, because of Ma'alim Bakodesh. Tipukle, Medialfina Mikla Perek Shiniz Vahim, the Kohen Gadol Shlavash Begde Kohen Edyot, Ve'avad, Avodato Pesula, Mishum Mechosar Begadim. Bottom line, he can't be a Kohen Edyot, because a Kohen Gadol that wears eight cannot wear four, and if he wore four, his avoda is pesula. So scroll down a little to the Ve'yesh Lomar. Tosfot's answer: the Kohen Gadol mitmane bepe umistalek bepe. Tosfot gives us a klali. How did the Kohen Gadol become Kohen Gadol? It's verbal, which means that he brings down from the Gemara Yot that the king, or the Kohanim's brothers, would go verbally and say, you are the Kohen Gadol. And in certain cases, he could also be Mistalek Bepe, which means he's also removed from the Kehuna, also verbally. Now, what does that do with the answer? Tosfot's giving us a klal. You should know that Kohen Gadol's appointment and his removal is done verbally. So the Pnei Yeshua explains what the intention over here of Tosfot is. He says like this, Pnei Yeshua, Achen moridim oto mikihunato. Really, we would be able to make this Kohen Gadol, technically, lower him down to a Kohen Idiot. Which means, since the only way he became a Kohen is verbally, so therefore, just like you can make him verbally a Kohen Gadol, you can undo him verbally. So therefore, the Hava Amina of the Gemara would be, I let him be a Kohen Idiot. Which means, he can't be a Kohen Gadol, so remove him. Just like you verbally made him a Kohen Gadol, verbally take him out. Now make him a Kohen Gadol. Side problem. Ma'alim b'kodesh, ve'en moridim. That's the way the Pnei Yeshua understands it. So kevan shekohen gadol mitmaneh b'dibur b'lvad, nitan gam lebatel et minuyo b'dibur. Ve'davar ze masur b'yad ha'melech v'kohanim. And therefore, I would have thought that, so it comes out according to the Pnei Yeshua's understanding, they really can remove him. Yeah. Which means, he's not a Kohen Gadol anymore. Yeah. He loses his status as Kohen Gadol, but he still can't serve as a Kohen Idiot. Because of the problem of, correct, because he cannot be, or the reason why they're removing him, he cannot serve as a Kohen Gadol anymore, and now the Kohen Idiot, even though technically they could make him a Kohen Idiot by removing him, but because of Malibah Kodesh, he cannot. Now, the Tosfot Ibura Matchil on Yud Gimal Amud Aleph Halakha Kerebi Yosef. Tosfot asks the question like this. Tosfot says, we have a principle usually that Hilcheta LeMeshiha. The Gemara usually doesn't tell us halachot that do not have application in the present day. So the Gemara comes along and says, and this machloket over here regarding the Kohen Gadol, what the second Kohen Gadol's position is. Halakha Kerebi Yosef. So Tosfot says, Hilcheta LeMeshiha. What's the daf kavina for us to know that Halakha Kerebi Yosef? This is an item for the times of the Bet HaMikdash. So therefore, what's the Pshat Halakha? How does this translate to us? Halakha Kerebi Yosef. So the Tosfot has a few answers. One answer is like this. Really, it does have Halakha ramifications for our time. Let's say for positions of gedula that we have in our generation. Let's say we have in a institution a nasi, a president, and something happens to the nasi that he's rendered, let's say, unfit to serve for a certain while, and they appoint somebody in his stead. Then he becomes fit again. So therefore, we have to know exactly, can he get his position back or not? According to the Biyosei, we say he get the first position back, but what? The second guy, you still have to treat him with respect. Because although he can't serve not as a Kohen Gadol, a Kohen Idiot, but he does have a certain status. So therefore, there is a usage in this halakha to apply to the cases today. Furthermore, the Tosfot said that that sevara of Hilcheta LeMeshiha, well, you bring halakot for the Mashiach, he says, we don't hold like that Gemara. He says, that's following Rabbi Yosef, but the Maskara, the Gemara does bring some cases that might not have practical application. So therefore, their logic is Dirosh Vekabel Sakhar, which means, learn it, man, you get reward, Talmud Torah. Well, it has to have an application. But you learn L'Shem Shamayim. Halakha could be Yosef. But what's it got to do for me? Nothing. I'm just learning it to know that is the halakha L'Shem Shamayim. Drosh v'kabel sakhar. Okay. Now, the Gemara then said that Rabbi Yosef is modeh. That if the second Kohen served, avodato kishera. So, he says like this. Obviously, the reason is because technically he's still a Kohen Gadol. Right? The only reason why they're poselim is because of Eva. So his service will be kasher. Now, the Gemara then said, if the first Kohen died, then the Biyosei agrees, put the second one in his place. So Tosfot Arosh writes, "Ena kavanah shehayavim lahazron komo
It doesn't mean that he automatically inherits the position. If there's a better Kohen, I mean, if there's a better candidate, of course you take the better candidate. The point is, he can be a candidate, which means if he's the best guy,
put him in,
there's no problem. The Hiddush is, if there's two equals, you take the Kohen that served once already, take him as the back to the Kohen Gadol. Now, the last point over here is, the Gemara said, I would have thought that what? That you don't take him as a Kohen Gadol. Why? Because he might be considered Sara Mehayim. You're creating a rivalry. So, the Hazon Yehezkel says like this, Shekasher minu aher tahat HaKohen Gadol, when they would, let's say, appoint somebody else under the Kohen Gadol, En libno shel rishon hezkat yirusha limnoto tahat aviv. A Kohen Gadol's son does not have any precedence to take the job, you know, in the place of his father. He proves it from this Gemara, which means if Kohen Gadol was a Yerusha, what do you mean Sara Mehayim? It's always going as an inheritance. Ella, since the Kohen Gadol is serving, his son does not have rights to the Kohen automatically. That's why I would have thought that this replacement Kohen is a rival in the lifetime of the Kohen. Because if the Kohen's son's taking over, you don't have a shot. So what do you mean? There's no rivalry. So Hazanishka wants to prove from here that you see that it's not an inheritance over here. That it's open to the best candidate. Okay, now we continue the Gemara further. Comes the Gemara and says, Rabbi Yehuda Amir, Af Isha Acheret Matkinin Lo. So the Gemara said, the Mishnah said like this, back to the first Mishnah that we learned. The Mishnah said, everybody agrees, you set another Kohen Gadol up, just in case the first Kohen Gadol becomes Pasul, on Kippur. Rabbi Yehuda says, not only do you set up a second Kohen Gadol, but you set up a second wife, just in case the Kohen Gadol's wife dies, and we know that he has to be married.
Stand by.
So therefore, he has a second wife prepared. So the Gemara says, "V'rabanan nameh ha haishe leshemeh." What do you mean? The rabbis, you are concerned about maybe. Meaning, when it comes to Tum'ah, you were concerned that maybe the Kohen is going to become Tameh.
Right.
So just like you're worried that the Kohen is going to become Tameh, so you prepare a second Kohen in place, you should also prepare a second wife in place just in case he dies, which means Hakamim, you are concerned Shemeh, something might happen. So therefore, why aren't you suspecting that the Kohen Gadol, his wife might die? So you're going to say, Abi Tum'ah Shchicha, Mita Lo Shchicha. And a simple answer is, listen, there's a difference between getting pasul and somebody dying. Tum'ah is prevalent. It happens. So therefore, I have to prepare for a situation of tum'ah. But mitah, that's already not shchiyah. Now, what do you mean? Rabbi Yehuda holds mitah shchiyah? Of course not. You can't say Rabbi Yehuda holds mitah shchiyah. Mitah is really not shchiyah. So what's the explanation of Rabbi Yehuda? So the Mefarshim explained, I saw over in the Abi Nahal, he says like this, Shemishum ma'alat kaparat yom kippurim yesh tahush gam ledavar she'eno shkiyah. Which means, you're right, normally we don't suspect a mitah, but this is Kippur over here. And since Kippur has a special, important day, so even things that are not shkiyah, you're going to be suspecting. And the Rabbanan say, no, we keep the regular principle, mitah, lo shkiyah. Comes the Gemara and continues, Amru lo. Right, so the rabbis told Rabbi Yehuda, Imken en davar sof. They told Rabbi Yehuda, are you going to start preparing a second wife? Maybe prepare a third wife. Because maybe the second wife is going to die. And then there's no end to how much you could be suspicious. En davar sof. That was the Hakamim's challenge to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Shapir ka'amri le Rabbi Yehuda. That's a good question they asked to Rabbi Yehuda. How did Rabbi Yehuda answer that? V'Rabbi Yehuda amar lecha lemita deha da hashinan lemita de tarte lo hashinan. So okay, listen, there is a limit how much you're going to be hoshes to mita. One, you suspect, but two already, that's far fetched. You're not going to hoshes for two. V'Rabbanan. So now the Gemara says, according to the rabbis, iika lemehash afilu lemita de tren If you're going to start suspecting, then already you have to suspect for
more than one,
even two. Which means that's it. Once you're suspecting, end of the masof. Verabanan nimru inu de nafshayu. Hold it. Let the rabbis ask this question on themselves. Because when it came to psul, didn't they say they have to put a second kohen just in case the first kohen gadol becomes pasul? So they should ask this question on themselves. Hey, rabbis, in the davar sof, put two, three kohanim just in case the second guy becomes pasul, the third guy. The same question they asked on the biyuda, the gaber, the second wife, you should ask on themselves. So Gemara says, Amri dechar banan kohen gadol zarizu. Hey, listen. The Kohen Gadol is Zariz. He's careful not to become Tameh. Which means it's possible he can become Tameh. So we'll put one replacement. But we don't have to put more than one because the Kohanim really are careful. So the Gemara's hold it. If they're careful, don't put anybody. What are you putting a second Kohen off? You tell me he's careful, don't even suspect it. So the Gemara says, on the contrary, that's why he's careful. Because now he knows there's a rival over there that might take his job, so he's more careful not to become Tameh. So therefore, that protects him from becoming Tameh. So therefore, he knows that if he gets Tameh, somebody else is going to take his job. So therefore, we put a second Kohen over there, and that should do it. That should make the Kohen Zariz enough that we don't have to suspect of Tum'ah. And the Gemara continues. Umi sagele betakanta. Is this takana help? Which means, according to the Biyuda, we have to prepare for him a second wife, just in case his first wife dies. That is, the Kohen Gadol's wife dies on Yom Kippur, then he's going to be wifeless, and the Torah says he has to have a wife. So the Gemara says, so they prepared a second wife. So the Gemara says, is that takana? Is that going to help anything? Beto amar rahmana. The Torah says it has to be his wife. Ve'ach la betohi. This second lady that they prepare is not yet his wife. So Gemara says, the mekadesh la. So we're saying that while he actually was mekadesh, I mean before Kippur, he made kiddushin. Gemara says, ve'hakama de lo kanis la la betohi. Doesn't matter, until they actually consummate the marriage with a nisuin, which is the second stage, it's not considered betor. So the Gemara says, the kanisla. Okay, so he made a kiddushin as well as a chupa, nisuin, before Kippur. Gemara says, but now you have another problem. Imken, havale shene batim. Now he ends up having two wives on Kippur. V'rahmana amar v'chiper ba'adu ba'ad betor. Ve'lo ba'ad shene batim. Torah says he has to atone for his bayit. Bayit means one. In this case, he has two. So therefore, what's the case? Gemara says dehadar megareshla. You know what the case is? He subsequently divorces her, which means he marries her before Kippur and divorces her. Gemara says im megareshla. What does that mean? If he divorces her, hadra kusha leduchta. We're back to the original question. Because why? Now, he's not married to her, and therefore if the first one dies, the second one is not married, so it's not considered beto. So the Gemara now is going to give a list of seven different possibilities. Six of the possibilities are going to be rejected. The seventh, which will be at the Amud Bet, is going to be the final acceptable scenario for this case to happen. I want to point out that as she says, that on each of these cases, the Gemara is going to ask a question, why it's not a viable case. The Gemara could have asked other questions. You know, each case has several possible refutations. The Gemara only chooses one of them. And furthermore, the Gemara knew the final answer. However, it's just going through the cases just to eliminate them in order to get to the final solution. So the first case is like this. First white line. Lo sirika, you know what the case is? The megaresh la al tenai. Now let's review this principle for a second. Of course, a person, if he gets married, he wants to get divorced, so he has to give his wife a get. That's, of course, a halachic legal document. It's the only way you can get a divorce. Now there is a possibility that a person can also make a conditional get. Call it a get al tenai, which means he hinges the get on a certain condition. So in this case over here, he will tell his wife the following.
He tells her, "Are ze gitech al menat shetamuti,"
which means, "This is your get on the condition that you die." Now, what does that mean? Let's say his wife does die, so that means the get was valid, because I'm giving you a get only on the condition that you die. So that means from this point now, retroactively, the get is a get. What do we gain by this? That means if, let's say, she dies on Kippur, right, one of the wives that the condition was made to, she dies on Kippur, so retroactively there was a get before Kippur. And therefore he was only married to one lady. So therefore we solve the dilemma where he gives a conditional get. Al menat shetamuti. So the Gemara questions this. V'dilma lo maita. The only problem is if she doesn't die. If she doesn't die, she's married, as well as the first wife is married. And it's considered two houses, two wives. Ela, the Gemara rejects it and gives a second possibility. The Amar Lai tells his wife, "Are ze gitech, amenat shelo tamuti." So the opposite case. Your get is a get on the condition that you don't die. Now, let's work it out. If she doesn't die, so retroactively she was divorced from the beginning of Kippur, and therefore he only has one wife. So the Gemara says, "Ilo mita," if she does not die, meaning the lady that the condition was made to, she does not die, migarshala, so then she is divorced. Now, vi'i meta, and in the event that she dies, ha kaima ha, so then she dies as well. He's only married to the other wife, and therefore he only has one wife. So seemingly we solved the solution. We solved the case. Gemara says, no, we have a question in this case as well. V'dilma hi lo meta. We're concerned that what? Maybe the wife that the condition was made to, she's not going to die. And what's going to be? A get. V'habile gita dehai gita. This get is going to be a get. Umaita haverta. And the other wife is going to die. And therefore, v'kamle belo bayit. And he's not going to have a wife at all. And that's not valid. So that case cannot be the case. So the Gemara moves on to the third scenario. Ela de amar la al menat shetamut achat mikem, which means she made a condition to one of the wives that what? If any of you die, meaning if you die or the other wife dies, you are divorced from now. Again, so what do we gain over here? So the Gemara says, "Mita hakaimahach," which means if one of them dies, so then automatically she's divorced. The one of the wives are divorced because that was the condition. Amenat shetamut achat mekem. So again, if one dies, I mean, let's say the lady that the condition was made to, if she dies, so then already you have the other wife is still alive. Now the Gemara has a text over here. We'll read the text, and then we'll discuss the inherent problems with the text. Now, mitach. Now, if the other lady, the lady that the condition was not made, if the other wife that the condition was not made dies, ha kaimaha, you have the other wife. Now that's not so, because if the lady that the condition was not made to dies, so then already the other wife was divorced, because that was the condition. But the condition was, if one of you die, you're divorced. So therefore, this option is, if anything, a refutation to why the case cannot be valid. And therefore, the Aharonim scratch these words from the text. Now, the Gemara is going to refute this scenario in any event, but like I said now, the refutation is really obvious from this scenario. Again, in the event that the, we'll call the wife that the condition was not made to, if she dies, so she's not around, and the get on the conditional wife was effective, comes out he has no wives. In any event, the Gemara says another refutation, which is what? Dilma lo maita velo hada minayu. Well, that's obvious. If nobody dies over here, you have a problem as well. Because the get was only conditional if somebody dies. If nobody dies, havela havile shitne batim. So he's going to have two wives. Ve'od ki hay gavna mi avegita. That Gemara goes into a side point, technicality over here, that in such a case where you're putting a stipulation on her that it's a get only if she dies, that's not even a good condition. That doesn't work by gittin. Why? One of the things of a get, the Torah says, "Ve'echat avla sefer kiritut v'natan biyada." Koret means it has to be final. It has to be cut. I mean, it has to be a total break or separation where she's not yet still attached. And therefore, Rava said, for example, if a person tells his wife, this is your get on the condition that you will not drink wine for your whole life. So technically, the lady is attached to the husband her whole life because it's dependent on if she'll drink or not. So since he put the condition on her, so this is not considered a kiritut. However, Rava does say, if let's say he says, I'm making a get, this is your get, on the condition that you won't drink wine as long as so-and-so is alive, meaning Peloni, then it is considered kiritut, because she can outlive that fellow over there, and therefore it's considered she has the ability to cut away. Similarly, the Gemara is questioning on our case. Our case is what? Al-Menachetamut, on the condition that you die, you have a get. That's not considered a kiritut, because it's dependent in her. So therefore, forget about the refutations that we made, because the case won't work from the Kippur standpoint, but it won't even work from a Gittin standpoint, because it's not considered a kiritut. So comes the Gemara and says, the fourth scenario. Again, we're three lines on the bottom. Ela, the case is, Be'amar la hare ze gitech al menat shelo tamut havertech. Good. He tells one of the wives that he's making the condition to, that this is your get on condition that what? That the other wife does not die. Which means, if the other wife does not die, so then already there's going to be a divorce. So therefore that's good. Ilo mita havirta migarsha. So if the non-conditional wife does not die, so the conditional wife is divorced, and there he has one wife. Ve'i meta, and if let's say she dies, which means if the conditional wife dies, ha, so you have the original wife. So therefore, seemingly this is the scenario that works. The Gemara says no. There's a problem in this case as well. What's the case? Gemara says like this. Vedilma, maybe, maita haverta bepalga da'avoda. Could be the non-conditional wife is going to die in the middle of the day of Kippur. Ve'igle milta lemafreya, and it's going to come out retroactively, de'gita de'ay lav gitahu, that the get to the conditional wife is not a get, because the get was only given al-minat shelotamut. However, once the other wife dies, so now already that means the get was never hal retroactively, because the condition was not fulfilled, because the get is only a get al-minat shelotamut. However, she died. So therefore, since she died, there's no get. So technically, from the beginning of Kippur to midday, the Kohen had two wives. He was married to the wife that died. And now that she died, the other wife is not Migureshet. And therefore, retroactively, and therefore technically he served on Kippur with two wives. And therefore the Gemara says, "Avid de'avodah b'shne batim." And therefore he served with two wives. Now, the Tosfot Yeshanim asks a question on this last scenario.
The Gemara refutes it by saying that maybe the non-conditional wife is going to die in the middle of Kippur. If that's the case, retroactively, the conditional wife did not have a get, and therefore there was two wives while he had two wives while he was serving. So the Tosfot Yeshanim asks, what did you have to say that maybe she's going to die be'emsa avodah or be'emsa yom? The Gemara just could have said that she's going to die after the avodah, but before the end of Kippur. Would you just say she's going to die 1 hour before sunset? And then again, retroactively, he was married to two wives. Why did the Gemara specifically have to say be'emsa in the middle of the day? Palga de yoma. So the Ritba wants to answer that in truth, the avodah really lasts to the end of the day. So there's really no gap between the end of the avodah and Kippur. So therefore, since the avodah usually goes to the end, so therefore it could not have said that she died after avodah, but while Kippur was still there before sunset. In any event, the Gemara continues and goes to the next scenario. Gemara says, "Ela." We are on the second line. Ela de amar la harezegitech al menat shetamut havertech. So the Gemara says the case is like this. He tells the conditional wife that this is your get on the condition that what? That your friend, meaning the other wife, is going to die. Now, if the first one dies, which means if the non-conditional wife dies, so then already it is a get. So the Chaura, you're not going to have anybody. The Kohen is not going to have anybody. Now, if let's say the one that received this conditional get dies, in that case you'll still have the first wife. So there is a scenario in this case over here where it works out. Again, if the lady that received the conditional get dies, so you still have the first wife. However, as we pointed out, that in all the other scenarios, this case does not work. Now, obviously, this case over here is questionable.
What do you need to get?
Because the whole purpose of giving the get, right, is to make the condition, is so the Kohen Gadol will not have two wives simultaneously. So therefore, how did the Gemara even think to bring a case over here where it's you're not going to have a wife at all? But in any event, the Gemara is going through the process. So the Gemara again says like this: Ela, second line, De amar la rezegitech al menat shetamut havertach. So Gemara says, Dilma maita haverta. Maybe the non-conditional wife is going to die. Va'avela gita da'gita, and the conditional wife is megureshet. Ve'kamle belo bayit. They're not going to have a wife at all. Ela the megaresh de'o letarvayu. So the Gemara comes along and says, new understanding. You're giving two conditional gets to both wives. How? Lahada to one of them. Amar la rezikitech al menat shelo tamut havertech. That you're divorced on condition that what? Your friend does not die. Ulhada amarla, and to the second one, he says to her, harezegitech al menat shelo tekansi lebet hakneset. That this is your get on the condition that you do not walk into the bet kneset. Any bet kneset, the synagogue. He puts a stipulation on her. So now let's figure out exactly the scenarios, how this works out. Basically, there are three possibilities that can happen in this case. Possibility number one is shelo tamut af echad me'anashim, where nobody is going to die. Now, in that case over there, if nobody's going to die, since the condition of the Gemara was shelo tamut, you're divorced, so therefore, obviously the conditional wife will be divorced, and the other wife is going to be married. Now, how is she going to be married? She's going to have to fulfill the condition. Because the condition was, you're considered divorced on the condition that you don't walk into a Bet Knesset. So she'll just walk into a Bet Knesset, and therefore she will have marriage, and therefore he's married to one lady. So again, I just review that again. In this case, if both of them are alive, it'll be a good scenario. Why?
course, the conditional get was said, al menat shelo tamut, havirta, she didn't die. So this conditional lady is divorced. Beautiful. The other wife, that the condition was made to her, that you're divorced so long as you don't walk into a Bet Knesset, so she'll walk into a Bet Knesset. Once she walks into a Bet Knesset, she's married retroactively from the beginning, obviously, and therefore she was married, he was married on Kippur. Scenario number two is one of the wives died. Now, let's discuss you want to go that way first. Let's say the wife, the conditional wife of the Bet Knesset dies. So if she dies, so very good. The first one is not divorced, because the condition was zegitech al menat shelo tamut. But once the other wife, Havirta, dies, so therefore she is not divorced, he's married. Beautiful. Now let's go the other way. Let's talk about the case where the conditional wife of al menat shelo tamut, if she dies. So if she dies, so the other one will just walk into the Bet Knesset, and you'll have a wife. So basically, in three scenarios, either if they're both alive, or one of the two die, the Kohen Gadol technically is legitimate because he has one legal wife during the service of Kippur. Comes the Gemara and says, "But we have a problem. What's the problem on this? V'dilma lo maita haverta. Maybe the other wife is not going to die." Oh, so that's good, in the sense that one of them will be divorced. However, velo ailahi lebet haKnesset, but she is not going to walk into the Bet haKnesset. Now, if she doesn't walk into the Bet haKnesset, ma'avi legita de darvayu gita. So now, if he was divorced from both, he's divorced from the conditional wife because the other lady is still alive. It's amenat shelo tamut, and the second lady, she didn't walk into the Bet Knesset, so her get is also hal. So how could you guarantee that she's going to walk in the Bet Knesset? The Gemara is assuming a what? Maybe she won't walk. And he's not going to have a wife at all. So the Tosfot over here says, like this, force her to go into the Bet Knesset. What does that mean? In this situation, we've got to fix the Kohen Gadol. And it's all hinging on what? Because she doesn't want to walk into the Bet Knesset. So he says that since ladies are atzlaniyot, that ladies by nature are lazy, she's not going to go in by herself. And we might not always be around. You know, we're in the Bet HaMikdash. We got to now make sure she walks to a Bet Knesset. You're not always by that second wife to make sure that she's going to go into the Bet HaKnesset. Some want to say that, why don't you force her to go into the Bet HaKnesset? Which means, push her in there. I mean, the Gemara is giving it as if it's on her volition. She might not walk in. You know what? In that case, we let the Bet Din go along and say, we need the Kohen Gadol to be married over here on Kippur, and force her in. It's not going to be good, because if you look at the Lashon of the condition that he made, that Harezegitech, that this is your condition, on the fact that what? That you will not walk into the Bet HaKnesset. It's mashma that we're giving her options. Which means, if you're telling us now that we have the option to force her, so that wasn't the condition. The condition sounds like it was up to her. Amen. Right? She had her free will. I mean, if you want a get, you know, just don't walk into the Bet HaKnesset. Now, if you're going to force to go to the Bet HaKnesset, that wasn't the condition, which was mashma that was really according to her will. In any event, the Gemara now gives yet another scenario. The Gemara is actually going to give the final seventh scenario that is going to be the final answer. Ela, Gemara says, again, two conditions. Lachada amar la, to one of the wives he said, Hare zegitech al menat shelo tamut havertech. You're divorced in the event that the second wife does not die. Ulhada amar la, and to the second wife he said, Hare zegitech al menat sheikanes ani lebet hakneset. Which means the Kohen Gadol tells his wife, and the stipulation is not on you anymore. It's on me. You're divorced on the condition that I will walk into the Bet HaKnesset. Now let's see how this scenario works out. De'i maitaha, which means, if the lady that the condition was made to, that what, al menat shelo tamut, Okay, so she died, doesn't matter. So the other wife is alive. Let the Kohen Gadol walk into the Bet Knesset. Again, he's in control. And therefore, it will not be a get. They'll be married. And if the lady, that the condition of the Bet Knesset was made, so therefore the other wife is not divorced, because it was Almenat Shelo Tamut. Right? So therefore, since the other one died, there is no divorce, and therefore, hakaimah. So comes the Gemara and says, "My ika lememar." What more is there to be said? She's the Gemara is trying to say, "Do you have a problem with this case?" Which means the chavra, we solved all the dilemmas. So the Gemara says, "No, we have one more dilemma." Dilma ma'ita chaverta bepalga da'avoda, which means maybe the lady that the condition was made to the Bet Knesset, that your get is a get. Unless I walk into the Bet Knesset. So let's say that, again, Dilma Maita Chavirta Befalga Da'avoda. Gemara asks on this final scenario, Dilma Maita Chavirta Befalga Da'avoda. Again, we repeat, maybe the lady that the Kohen divorced on the condition that they're married until he walks into the Bet Knesset, maybe she is going to die on Kippur, in the middle of the day. Now, if she dies, bottom line, they were married for part of Kippur. He was married to that lady. And the conditional wife, they were also married. Because once she dies, it's harezegitech amenat shelo tamut. But once she dies, that other wife, so that means he was married retroactively to the conditional wife as well. So bottom line, he has two wives on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, "V'avad la'avodah l'mafreya b'shnei batim." Gemara says, "No, we have an answer to this." Ihazel adeka ba'ya le'memat. If he sees that lady is about to die, meaning the wife that he said, "You're not divorced until I walk to the Bet Knesset." If he sees already that she's about to die, what will he do? Kadim yuvei le'Bet Knesset. So he'll walk to the Bet Knesset. A Kohen is Zariz. We're not worried he might be lazy and not walk in. We trust him, he'll walk into the Bet Knesset. By walking to the Bet Knesset, what does he do? He causes a divorce. And therefore, once she does die, le'mafreya, to the other wife, he was married to only one wife on Kippur. And the Gemara says, "Mashveh the gita, da gita le'mafreya." And therefore, it'll make the get on that wife retroactively, that they were divorced already from before Kippur. And therefore, he only ends up with one wife. Baruch Adonai Le'olam, amen v'amen.